Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go. It is a unique Monday live in Los Angeles. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on iHeartRadio all week. We're on Fox Sports Radio all week. We're on Sirius XM Channel 83 all week. And we'll be on posting on social platforms like Twitter today and throughout the course of the week. We'll not be on television. My television employer, FS1, Fox Sports, has decided for the next week minimum to not put us on television. That's a company decision. We learned that last week. I think it was Thursday night, Friday morning, posted that. But the show goes on. If there is any situation where I feel uncomfortable even doing a show from this radio place where I'm at in this small studio, then I can do it from home. I'm set up for that. So I'll be here talking and hopefully comforting on what is a day that there's a lot of NFL news. I know some people think, you know, well, the optics, you can't worry about optics. The NFL has no games going on. Right now is a paperwork time for the NFL. There's no reason not to do business. You can't worry about what Twitter says and be paralyzed by that and the tyranny of the Twitter mob. I have no problem with the NFL saying, listen, it's paperwork, it's free agency. You know, we're going to offer contracts to certain people. A lot of players getting paid. The reason the CBA got approved, players didn't want to push off the new year. They wanted to get paid. A lot of guys getting paid. So the first big news today is Dak Prescott of the Dallas Cowboys has officially been franchise tagged. Now, that means nobody else is allowed to sign him. No other team can, and they have until July. They can still do a deal with him, but it appears Jerry Jones has said, this is our price, $33 million. And a lot of the media, I see the world differently than most fans and media. I have never been one of those guys that wants my favorite star player to get paid. I want my team to be nimble. If you're a Cowboy fan, Dak's never going to buy you a beer. Forget giving you any money, so what do you care? What do you care? They offered him $33 million. He said no. God love America. If you can in America, in a state with no income tax, turn down $33 million a year, it's a great country. Right now, it's a country dealing with the coronavirus, but it is a great country. Jerry Jones is not a cheap owner. This is not a Cincinnati Bengals situation. Jerry Jones pays his stars. Jerry Jones recently has paid his stars early, Jalen Smith. He paid a running back. Nobody pays a running back. Today, the Titans are franchising Derrick Henry. They don't want to pay a running back. Jerry paid his running back 2 years early. But as I've said, I think franchise tagging him is the move for Dak Prescott. When he, against New England and Philadelphia, had the better O-line, the better running back, the better receivers, and in two games, eight quarters, zero touchdown drives. Zero. Zero. Lost both games. I'm franchise tagging him. People will say this morning, well, Dak deserves. No. This is not a deserves league. It's an earn league. How good is Dak today? He's not elite. Today. Well, Colin, his rookie year, awesome, 4 years ago. Obama was president. Sort of a different time now, right? We'd all agree with that? Different White House today? Doesn't matter what he did 4 years ago. A lot of things happened 4 years ago. Stock market was rolling 4 years ago, down 2,000 points today. Well, he outperformed his draft spot. Yeah, most players don't. He did. Teams, for the record, have a right to occasionally get lucky. Seattle got lucky for several years. Because, by the way, a lot of you guys in the first round fail. A lot of you guys in the second round fail. A lot of you guys don't work hard enough. A lot of you are busts. Oh, gosh, a team actually gets lucky occasionally. What do you know? Seattle got lucky with Russell Wilson. But Russell Wilson got paid. Because Russell Wilson, with a bad O-line, and with below average, often undrafted wide receivers. Every year, playoffs, Super Bowls, outperformed his contract and had to carry his team. Nobody's ever asked Dak to carry this team. Best running back, best O-line, good receivers. He's just been asked to drive the car and not drive it into a tree. Russell Wilson has been asked to carry the franchise offensively. And he has. Yes. Yes, he had a great rookie year. And yes, he outperformed his draft spot. Yes. All right. Most guys don't. And it should be noted, they're not telling him to get lost. They are offering him $33 million a year, $105 million guaranteed. And God bless America. He's like, nah, not good enough. It's a great country. This is not about the Cowboys. They have offered him a contract. And it is a little bit more than I would want to pay him at $33 million, but it's a reasonable contract. Because if you think I'm wrong, ask yourself today. Arm size, accuracy, athletic ability. Is he elite in any of them? Nope. He is not elite in any tangible quality. His intangibles are great. That's fine. If I ran Google and had an engineer, and his tangibles, let's say his intangibles were great. He shows up to work. He's loyal. He's committed. He's a good guy. Everybody likes him. His intangibles are great. He's a pretty good leader. But his contract was up. And I said, is he a brilliant engineer? Will he change the world? No. Then I'm not going to pay him what I'm paying Russell Wilson. So if just ask yourself basic questions. Well, Colin, Dak's done everything right. I saw that today posted on Twitter. He's done everything right. At Philly, at New England, that was right? No touchdowns? 8 quarters, that was right? Ask yourself this morning, is Dak elite? Elite. And if so, where? Against winning teams? That was 1-6 last year. Arm, no. Size, no. Athletic ability, no. Is Dak elite? No. So why am I going to pay him? I don't like Kirk Cousins' contract. He's got better stats since he became a Viking. And he's making less than Dak. $31 million today is new deal. And I don't even like that deal. And you think it's unfair for Dak? The Cowboys and the Jones family have a right, just like my boss does, to set a price based on what they feel my value is. I think the price is right. Dak turned it down. They franchise tagged him. I think it's incredibly fair. And I don't think the story today is this is outrageous. I think the story today for Dak Prescott is what a country we live in. That a young man, early 20s, can be offered $33 million a year. No state tax. You think Tony Romo's contract's big? Double it. You've been reading about that? Double it. And Dak Prescott's like, it's not good enough. That's a great country to live in. Let me shift to this. And thank you so much for joining us today. I know all of our lives have been sort of unraveled a bit, mine included. And it's not done. I said this last week on, I believe, Thursday. This is not a two-week story. It is a two-three-month story. It's a spring-summer story. The market's going to be up and down. There's going to be limitations to what we can do. I think the social distancing is the right call. I said that last week. And we'll get through it. But I want to talk about this for a second. The NFL players this weekend approved the new CBA. So 2030, we'll all get a little nervous that we don't get football. We are good now for a decade. And I think it's funny. You know, I've been watching a lot of this debate stuff in politics. Everybody hates the one percenters. You ever notice that? Tax the rich. Living in a bubble. These people cannot relate to any of us. Feel the burn. We hate one percenters. Yet the NFL this weekend said, we're going to strike a deal. It's not great for the one percenters. It's not great for Aaron Rodgers, J.J. Watt. It's actually for the middle class and below of the NFL. Now, context here. The scout team guys in the NFL make three times with this new deal, 3 to 4 times what the average family makes. So it's a great deal by any other reasonable standard. But the NFL owners took care of the middle class and below. And you know what I read on Twitter? A terrible deal. Aren't you the same guy whining about the 1%? The NFL did not take care of the 1%. They took care of middle class America. Middle class guys in shoulder pads. They took care of their poorest, their scout team, their backup offensive linemen. That's why this passed. Because that's a majority of the NFL. The majority of the NFL is not J.J. Watt. The NBA, it's different. The NBA's CBA takes care of its stars. The top 1%. Which I've never quite understood because the NBA and golf are the only two sports where you can make more money if you're great in your apparel than you can in your sport. Phil Mickelson's made far more money out of golf than winning tournaments. Same with Tiger Woods. Arnold Palmer didn't make squat winning golf tournaments. He made a fortune, Pennzoil spots and golf course design. Same with Jack Nicklaus. And NBA guys, you don't really need to take care of your top 1% because the top 1%, Michael Jordan makes more now shoes than he did when he played. It's an apparel league. But they take care of their stars. Everybody loves that on Twitter. Well, that's the 1% you keep railing against. Make your mind up on this, folks. I've never demonized wealth. I don't have a problem people getting wealthy. I don't resent billionaires or millionaires. But the NFL said, we're not going to really take care of our star quarterbacks. They're already going to make $35 million a year. And unlike 15 years ago, now the top players in the NFL all have commercials. I can remember 15 years ago, Donovan McNabb had a chunky soup commercial. And I remember saying this on the air. I'm like, you ever notice how few NFL stars have commercials? NBA guys are everywhere. Now it's changed. You cannot turn on a commercial during the NFL season on any network. It's NFL. Baker Mayfield's on a losing franchise. He's got 8. So the NFL's like, we don't need to take care of Mahomes and Russell. They're going to make their money. We want to take care of the average guy in the league. They did, and people complain about it. It's funny to me. Make your mind up. Do you resent the 1%? Are you for the middle class? The NFL's middle class was rewarded this weekend. It remains the NFL, the best-run league. The NFLPA, the Players Association, they got bonuses due. Everybody's like, oh, the owners want to wrap this stuff up. I got news for you. The NFLPA wanted to wrap it up. They didn't want to push back the start of the new year. You see all those contracts being handed out this morning? Billionaires don't need that. They're the ones paying it. So this idea, the owners were rushing it through. NFLPA was like, yeah, we're good. Let's go. Let's go. Wasn't just the owners. It was the players. Baseball, I also read this morning. Well, it's the weakest union. Yeah, thank God. The Major League Baseball union is so strong, it took them forever to test for steroids. Steroids were illegal in America. Baseball, union, they couldn't test for it forever. NFL's union isn't as strong. You know what else isn't as strong throughout America? Unions, because people like to get stuff done. And sometimes it's harder with unions. And I'm currently in a SAG-AFTRA union. And it doesn't help me much, but it certainly helps people I work with, and that's good. But, you know, you sit around with this NFL all the time, and I watch all the political stuff. Bernie Sanders would have loved that new NFL CBA. They loved it. It took care of everybody but the 1%ers. And like everything in the world now, the silent majority of the players liked it. The people who are vocal on social media don't like it. But don't just tell me it was owners rushing to get this done. The NFLPA wanted to get it done too. And it was a vote like every vote in America. It was divided. It was right down the middle. Barely passed. Just like our elections. Hillary got more votes. Donald won the Electoral College. I mean, everything we're voting on now is divided. We're a divided country. And that's fine. Okay? That's fine. What's not fine is, you know, the coronavirus worries me. Votes going right down the middle, don't bother me. That means you have two strong sets of opinions. And Malcolm Jenkins is a real smart guy for the Eagles. He came out and he's like, listen, it's not going to make everybody happy. Listen, I've negotiated, I think, about 12 different contracts. Radio, TV, I got several contracts, right? I never get everything I want. I'm never totally satisfied. I'm mostly satisfied. And I come in with realistic expectations. Here's the number I want. Here's what I want. I'll take less here. Give me more there. Give me freedom here. Give me some ownership here. I'll take less here. Give me vacation here. I'm not a big guy. I don't worry much about vacation time, right? Give me some Fridays off after football. A lot of people want more vacation. That's not something I seek. So, I mean, I've never signed a contract, walked out, and like, yeah, dominated my bosses. For the record, my bosses have never walked out of their negotiations and thought we dominated that coward guy. It's, you know, you give some, you take some. That's the way it works. Just the way the CBA worked.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I always say, whatever gets out, people want out. When news gets out, people want it out. Otherwise, it wouldn't get out. I've had all sorts of things in my life where I've had media critics call me, and I don't let it get out because I don't want it out. So when stuff gets out, it's because somebody, some party wants it out. Well, Tom Brady, oh, well, what do you know? The Raiders and the 49ers, according to stories today, are not really interested in Brady. They're all drying up. According to Chris Sims, it's down to Tampa Bay and New England. A lot of these stories, we said this with Tom Brady, were Tom Brady driven, agent driven, and to get Tom leverage. He's a 42, 43 year old quarterback, not mobile. Almost every coach I've talked to, every GM, every scout, everybody wants to move their pocket. Jimmy Garoppolo is about the baseline lowest level mobility anybody wants right now. Is a Kirk Cousins or a Jimmy Garoppolo, where you can move the pocket, bootleg it, roll out. You know, Cousins and Garoppolo can do that. It's not really what they're built for, but they can do it. Brady can't. That's not what he can do. Nobody's looking. This is an owner situation. So from day one, I said, when you hear all these Raiders and you hear the Chargers and you hear Tampa Bay, it's not the coaches. Bruce Arians is not looking for a 42-year-old quarterback who can't move. It's an ownership situation. By the way, this was driven by, you know, the Tennessee rumor. Mike Vrabel's his buddy. Puts it out there, drops it to somebody. It helps the Titans, by the way, because now they can go to Ryan Tannehill and say, this is what we're offering. Now, Brady may be coming. Mutually beneficial for Tennessee to leak it. And then Tom gets, you know, maybe more money. Maybe it helps Tom. The media people Tom Brady trusts, there are people in the area in Boston. Tom Curran perhaps is one that Brady trusts. He gets information. John Gruden of the Raiders and Brady know each other. Boy, that rumor came out strong. And we had fun with it for the last month. I mean, you know this if you've listened to me. When the Super Bowl ends, there's about a six-week period. We're right in the middle of it now where it's pretty slow. God love the NFL. How slow would it be now? So, you know, we had fun playing around with Brady. We did 15 stories on him. We played dominoes, Tom Brady. We played dominoes every day. So, but suddenly all the offers dried up. It was a fun game of poker, but there is no royal flush. There is no straight. It's a 7-2 offsuit. There's nothing there. My prediction has always been New England's the favorite. I do believe today that the Chargers are making a run. Doug Gottlieb didn't agree with me, but I think Trey Turner, a random deal by itself on an island 2 weeks ago to get the one position the Chargers are below league average at, guard, solved, was a signal. And that signal to Brady is, Tom, we patched up the guard spot. We're going to let you think about this. We're not going to just make promises like the Patriots getting another wide receiver. We're going to solve our dilemma. And then, oh, by the way, today when you're legally allowed to start talking, right, you call Don Yee, you run the Chargers and say, we'll take a left tackle with our first pick. That's our second biggest hole. So I believe the Chargers, Dean Spanos, they need to sell tickets, they need relevance, and they need a quarterback. He solves all three. And I don't, you know, they could draft Justin Herbert. My feeling is just from what I'm reading and hearing is the Chargers are not as high on Justin Herbert, perhaps, as some people think. So, but the, you know, these stories get out when somebody wants them out. Now, there's another story today. Tom Brady and the Patriots, the end seems near, according to Tom Curran. Is that another story to help Brady? All I know is this. I work in the radio, TV, media business. Every time somebody that has a decent audience, their contract is up, I hear rumors about somebody else wanting them. And I'm not going to name any names, but you know, you see it in college football. Saban wants a better deal. He loses to Auburn. All of a sudden, Saban to Texas. Yeah, four-year deal, $9 million a year, pops up, Alabama. You know, John Calipari, every time, I can always tell when his contract is up. Because there's a rumor he's going to, you know, it was UCLA last time. It's the NBA. I can always tell when a guy's contract's up. Calipari, Nick Saban, you know how I can tell? Because rumors. Radio TV guys. I'll say, oh, this guy's going to DAZN. And I'm thinking, not really. Why would the DAZN want? He doesn't really fit that. I see that all the time in my business. Oh, that guy's going here. This guy, she's going there. And all it tells me is, oh, contract's up. Let's put stuff out in the market. So, Tom Brady stuff's drying up. I think he's a Patriot. Chris Sims thinks he could be a Buccaneer. And I do think the Chargers is a perfect fit for his current 42-year-old skill set. They patch the guard up, draft a tackle. It's Noah's Ark, baby. They got two backs, two receivers, tight ends, two pass rushers, two good corners. They got everything. They got everything with the Chargers. You can look at last year and go, they were bad. Look at the year before. They were great. And with Patrick Mahomes in that division, nothing against Tyrod Taylor. That's not what they're going to go up against. They're not going to have Tyrod Taylor go up against Patrick Mahomes twice next year. He can win you games. He's the perfect backup. Your starter's out for two games. He can win you one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Amari Cooper, by the way, is free to the marketplace, free to negotiate with other teams. Going to be very precarious. I don't like the idea of Dak Prescott with no Amari Cooper and below average at tight end. I don't. I think Amari Cooper matters. He was dependable. For the record, those of you saying, well, look at Dak. He is not getting what he deserves. So let's just go back. Day one with Dak. NFL. First start in the NFL, day one. I'm not anti-Dak. I'm pro now. What is he now? So since Dak has entered the league, 66% completion percentage, 97 passer rating, and less than a 3-1, 97 touchdowns, 36 picks, less than 3-1 interception ratio, 40-24 as a starter. Whoa, that's impressive. Pay the man. Now, here's what Kirk Cousins' stats look like from day one in Minnesota. Completion percentage, 70% better than Dak. Passer rating, 103 better than Dak. Touchdown to interception ratio, 56-16 better than Dak. As a starter, 18-12-1. About the same as Dak, winning percentage. And Kirk Cousins just got a new deal at $31 million a year. And I think it's too much. Dak got 33 offered. No thanks. Okay, Alex Smith, Kansas City. Let's go look at his Kansas City days. I think you can compare Dak and Alex Smith. Completion percentage, 65%, just like Dak. Passer rating, right around Dak, 95. Touchdown to interception ratio, better than Dak. Alex Smith in Kansas City, 102 touchdowns, 33 picks. Starter, 50-26, better than Dak. And they traded him. They let him go. So Alex Smith and Kirk Cousins had better numbers than Dak. And they'd both won playoff games. One traded Alex Smith. The other, given Kirk Cousins $31 million. So I don't think anybody's anti-Dak. I think Dak Prescott is 22-16 versus everybody not in the mostly crappy NFC East. He's beaten up on Washington's. He's beaten up on the Giants. And he's had, you know, he's had some nice wins over the Eagles. Since Dak entered the NFL, 12 quarterbacks have won multiple playoff games. Not Dak. Again, is he carrying Dallas? No. Is he often being carried by Dallas? I believe yes. Russell Wilson, I believe, is carrying Seattle's offense. I don't believe Dak is. I believe Kirk Cousins is being carried by his offense. I think Dak is being carried by his offense. I think Russell Wilson's carrying his offense. So that, to me, it's not an anti-Dak thing. It's a pro, how good is he now? And I'm not going to do some quarterback list, but I think he's, you know, 16th best, 13th best, something like that. Seems to me that's $30 million the number. Cap didn't go up as much as everybody thought. And I don't like Dak without Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup's a nice player. I don't think he's as good as Amari Cooper. So we've lost Cole Beasley. Jason Witten's gone. Amari Cooper's gone. O-line getting older. Yeah. Michael Gallup is a great number two. He's not a one. Amari's a one. Amari may not be a top 5 or 6 1 in the league, but he's a top 15, 20 one in the league. He's better than at least a third of the league's number one. And he runs good routes and he gets open, and Dak needs you to be open.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Joe Banner's a former Philadelphia Eagle president, former Cleveland Browns CEO. Okay, here's the breaking news. First reaction, Joe. You tweeted yesterday, we're going to have surprises. Stuff's going to happen nobody's talking about. So the Texans, who are desperate for draft picks, trade DeAndre Hopkins. They get a fourth rounder next year, a second round pick this year. It feels like to me, Joe, they got to pay Deshaun here pretty soon, and they got to pay Tunzel at left tackle. They just need a draft pick and to get rid of a contract, I guess. Is that what we're looking at here?
Well, I assume that's the logic, but it's not logical to me. I don't know what the thought is behind trading a probably top three wide receiver in the NFL when you're trying to develop a quarterback, and he's replaced by what? Kenny Stills? Are you using the draft pick on a wide receiver? I don't get it. And a running back, you know, not hard to find and has had some injury history and is making a lot of money. I don't get it.
Well, he's trying to be – Bill O'Brien's trying to be GM and coach. Mike Holmgren, by the way, was a hell of a coach, not as good a GM. Is Bill just over his head on the GM part?
Yeah, I mean, and a lot of guys have tried this. There are only a couple of people that have succeeded. I mean, I put Andy Reid and Belichick in the group. I'm not sure I can come up with a lot more names currently. You know, and we go back, even the Parcells of the world were much better head coaches than they were general managers, although he at least was somewhat successful at both. So, you know, this is hard to do for the very, very, very best people we have in the business. And, you know, I'm not sure that Bill reaches that upper echelon or that elite level of guys that have been able to do it. So, to me, you know, same thing with the Tunsil. I mean, if you were going to make the Tunsil move, which in my mind, acquiring a left tackle who's a great young player is very valuable, but they gave up a ton and then they made the trade without extending him. I don't understand that. You're going to see Tunsil, you're going to see Cooper, and we're going to see, who was the third guy, Ramsey. These guys are going to get massive deals because the teams traded for them, gave up a lot, and didn't sign them beforehand.
Yeah, Joe Banner, former Eagle president and Browns CEO. You know, it's interesting. The Browns, you know, Baker's not making any money yet, right? I mean, in the context of what that means. So they're paying a lot of money to Landry, OBJ, now Austin Hooper. They already have David Njoku. They're paying a couple of guys on the defensive front. But Baker's not making any money. So do you like the move to – yeah, I think you're overpaying Austin Hooper a little, but he's a very good tight end. What did you make of the Browns getting him?
No, I think that's a good move. I mean, they got a character guy at a position that the way Stefanski plays offense makes a difference. You know, in the short term, they're probably a little overloaded with weapons versus what I call linemen, which I think decide the game. But they can fix that over time, and they got plenty of room to do that right now. So I think it's a good addition. Listen, they're smart to know you're going to go into free agency, you're going to get somebody that people desire, you're going to overpay by definition. And there's nothing wrong with doing that as long as it's only occasional. So I think it's a good move.
Yeah. Jacksonville looks like potentially a tank job. let Jalen Ramsey leave, Calais Campbell for a fifth-round pick to Baltimore. I don't want to read too much into it, but it kind of looks like, hey, we need some juice in the franchise. We're playing two games in London. There's two quarterbacks in college next year, both from Georgia high school. What do you make of that Calais Campbell for a fifth-round pick to Baltimore?
Well, I think it's a contract dump because there's no way that's even close to his value, although, you know, he's older, so people worry about when will he start to decline. But based on how he played last year, that's not even close. So I'm just assuming that they just felt like they needed to get rid of the contract. But I look at that as if they can't make up their mind. Do we want to start all over again, or do we want to build from here? And that's the worst place to be.
Right.
Be either all in or all out, but don't be kind of part in. And that's the moves they've made, going back to the Ramsey, you know, alienating Njoku, you know, sitting here with, you know, a guy like Campbell, clearly not, you know, going to maximize what they're going to do this year. But I just think they got themselves in a cap mess, and they don't really have a choice at this point. But they, if that's what they're going to do, go all in. I don't have any problem with that. Go all in, but don't just dip your toe in there.
You know, I'm a little worried about Amari Cooper now if he signs somewhere else. Okay, Dallas can still retain him. They can work in a deal, but he can now go out in the market, right? So yeah. I've seen Dak without Amari. Michael Gallup's a two, in my opinion, not a one. Tight end, they're below the suboptimal. O-line is getting older. Dak without Amari, older O-line, I don't know. Not special at tight end. What do you make of kind of letting Amari? Do you think Dallas wants to retain him eventually?
Well, I do think they want to retain him, and he's actually been pretty public. If I was his agent, I would have been disturbed at how public he's been about wanting to stay there. But he must be hearing from some other teams that are interested in him with some pretty aggressive numbers, and therefore has made it a lot harder for the Cowboys to sign him, despite the fact that he wants to stay. You know, it'll be interesting because at least the word is that Hopkins, part of that deal is he wanted a new contract and Houston didn't want to give him a new contract. If he does a deal here in the next few days, which, again, if Arizona's smart, they've actually already laid out a preliminary deal and they need to just finalize it, Cooper could become massively expensive. I mean, Julio Jones got $22 million last year. You know, everybody called that an outlier, but if Hopkins goes out and gets $20 or $22 million, it's not an outlier anymore. It's the market. So Cooper's wise to be kind of sitting here and letting things play out a little bit in the next few days.
Do you like him as a player?
You know, listen, I don't see him as a consistent all-in every play guy. So if I were picking a free agent, I'm not sure how aggressively I'd be. Now, that's different. He's demonstrated how valuable he is to the Cowboys. And I think they should have signed him, you know, a year ago when they traded for him. But if I was just building a team, I'd be a little nervous about putting $18, $20 million into a guy that I don't see as just being consistently, you know, dominant all the time.
I think that's fair. Joe Banner, former Eagle president, Browns CEO, friend of the show. Joe, CBA passes, 17th game. Players are okay with it. Like the rest of America, it was a decided vote. Did you think either side won?
You know, I guess I'm the only one thinking this, although maybe the yes vote means I had more people agreeing than I thought. But I think it's a solid deal on both sides. I mean, two deals ago, the players got a very, very good deal. And the last deal, the owners got a very good deal. We were kind of due for something that kind of works for both sides. I don't see either side getting a great deal or a bad deal here. I think that it's a good, solid deal. I think D did a much better job in negotiating this deal than the last deal. I was really critical. Last deal, I was really critical, frankly, when they voted to extend him, whether he's the right guy or not. But I think he did a good job on this deal. And I think the owners got a couple of things that were really important to them. So I'm glad it passed. I think it's good for everybody, and I think it's fair.
You know, it's funny. I was saying this about Brady. Some of the offers now appear to be drying up. I always kind of felt New England was the spot. Belichick's not warm and fuzzy. You just got to realize that. They want him, but they're not going to pay him $32 million. In the end, when you were a GM or a CEO, you know, some of these leaks are clearly leaked by the player trying to create leverage. Did you ever truly believe that Brady had a huge market?
Well, I didn't, and I've actually been tweeting this for a while. That doesn't mean there's no interest. And if he chooses to take the maximum deal, it will be pretty sizable. But that's just not his history. It doesn't seem to be what drives him. He's going to get a lot of money in any case. But I knew that the Texans had been negotiating with Tannehill for a little while. I've never believed the Colts were in it. I do believe the 49ers had a shot, but they just felt like the situation they were in with their cap and players they needed to resign, they were better off just staying the way they were. So for me, you know, you're down to San Diego, Tampa Bay, and New England, and he's always been very focused on the quality of his offensive line. There's only one of those three teams that has a quality offensive line, which is New England. Now, there could be a surprise team that comes up now that the interest isn't what we thought, but I've always said New England, knowing absolutely nothing, but it just seemed to make sense. I'm still staying New England.
By the way, a minute left. It's a great wide receiver draft. 50 could get drafted. Is that possibly what Bill O'Brien thought, which is, okay, I get a second-round pick, I'll use it on a wide receiver and not have to pay him much?
Well, it could be what he's thinking, but he's playing. The wide receiver was due to make a little over $12 million this year. The running back is making $11 million. So he really gave up the difference between those two players for a, you know, fairly high second-round pick that may get him a replacement that has almost no chance of being as good as the guy he gave up. So he's taking a big step back at wide receiver to get better at running back. I just don't think in this era, especially I think of Hopkins really highly, that that's a good move.
Joe Banner, thanks for coming on today. This was good.
My pleasure.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jay Glazer's joining us. All right. You know, there's different times of the year in the NFL. There's free agency, there's the draft, there's the season, there's the playoffs. You like this free agent stuff, Jay?
I used to love the free agency stuff, and that's, you know, I've kind of, I think about 5, 6, 7 years ago, I'm like, okay, now I've kind of done that, been there, done that. I live for the draft. I certainly live. My biggest thing is during the season, Fox NFL Sunday is like, that's where I'm trying to drop all my bombshells. But the offseason, I like to drop a couple bombshells here and there, like the Odell getting traded last year. But all this stuff, yeah, I remember when I first started, I was one of the first, well, we were the first ones to do this minute by minute breaking news. It was me versus a guy named Len Pasquarelli, Clayton and Mortensen. We were like minute by minute, the first ones to do it. And man, back then we would, I literally, if a fifth round draft pick signed, I would try and break it. And then, yeah, I mean, it was everything. And, you know, back then too, we were like, yeah, this, I think this internet thing may actually catch on, but keep it a secret. And then as time went on, it just got, there's so many, and I'm glad we kind of paved the way for it to become a thing, this NFL Insider thing, and for the crawls and breaking news constantly. But, you know, I did it for a while, and I respect the hell of the guys who are doing it now, the Schefters and the Rappaports and all those guys, and God bless them. You know, we did it for a long time, and it's there are certain things that kind of, you know, there's different times of the year. Like for me, draft is my time, and then during the season, my time. Sitting back here, I kind of like to watch, and I'll drop a couple big ones here and there.
By the way, Houston trades DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah.
I think the world's a little. It's not the deal I would have wanted, but I understand they got to pay
But not the deal you would want for who?
So, DeAndre Hopkins is now officially going to Arizona.
No, I know. Who are you saying you wouldn't be happy if you were which fan?
Well, if I'm Arizona, I'm very happy today.
I'm ecstatic. Are you kidding me?
Because Kyler Murray.
Ecstatic.
Yeah, Kyler Murray got a star. There is growing sense in the NFL that Bill O'Brien should not be GM and head coach. Do you share that belief?
Well, you know, there is growing sense. I think it's hard for somebody to do the same thing. But I think everybody thought they were crazy in what they did earlier last year, trying to get Tunsil and then trading Clowney and picking up as much as they did. And all they did is go on and I think they won the division, right? They end up going to the playoffs. So, I think regardless, it's hard to have a head coach, GM, because there's the amount of work that goes into both positions. It's, you know, it's not 24 hours a day. It's, you know, that makes it 60 hours a day for those guys. It's just too hard. But I do want to touch on this trade, right? Because during the season, I had reported on Fox that Hopkins was a guy that teams were calling, thinking he could be available for a trade. So here he is, DeAndre Hopkins. I put it out there. Suddenly gets reported that I'm saying he's in the trade block. And that's not what I said. I said he is being – the teams think he could be had, so they're calling. And I asked O'Brien about it. He said, yeah, teams are calling, but it's going to take a ridiculous amount. Well, all of a sudden I get a phone call from DeAndre Hopkins. It's Sunday, mind you, and it's an hour before the game. And he's like, Jay, is this true? And I'm like, no, dude, you're not on the block. Teams are trying to call for you. And he's like, what? And he's calling me, and he's like, man, you know, why don't they like me? I'm like, wait, where are you right now? Aren't you supposed to be warming up on the field right now? And he's literally called me from the locker room, and I realized what the time is. I'm like, hold on a second. You guys are early. Aren't you supposed to be out there? And he's like, I'll call you back. And that's the last I heard from him. But, I think they're trying to rebuild draft capital. But I think DeAndre Hopkins is one of the top three receivers in this league. So for Steve Kime to get him and not give up a first rounder, plus get rid of a running back that they're trying to shed anyway, was brilliant on their end.
Well, and they also, Kyler Murray, first of all, it's a very good division.
Yep.
And Kyler Murray, at this point, once you get that star quarterback, that young star quarterback, you got to help him, either O-line or weapons. The Brady stuff has been fun. It looks like a lot of the offers are, kind of drying up. I don't even know if they were offers. A lot of it was, my takeaway was, is Don Yee, talking to some friendly reporters who make it look like there's a big market. I don't sense there is a huge market. If I said today, Jay Glazer, Tom Brady remains in New England, because that's my gut feeling, where do you land on that opinion?
Colin, you know me, man. I don't like to ever be wrong. And I don't like to guess, and I don't think he knows the answer right now, so it would be hard for me to say. I think even them kind of boxing him in a corner, I hate to see it come down to what seems like they're saying, oh, you don't have a lot of leverage? Okay, well, we're going to give you over here. We're just going to pay you this. It just seems like the wrong way to kind of go about his last years there.
Yeah.
And I could tell you that some of the stuff that was coming out, too, was other teams trying to attach him there so they could perhaps leverage – who their current quarterbacks are.
Like Tennessee.
So not all of it was coming from his people,
Yes.
But I still look at it, I think it's the craziest thing ever. And he's the greatest quarterback who ever lived. And we're talking about him not having a place to go and not having and his own team willing to move on. It's just the craziest thing. They still had a top 10 offense last year with him losing his center, who may have been the second most valuable guy on that team. Him not having the offensive weapons we're talking about, and he's still a top 10 offense. And but it's mind-boggling to me that more people aren't talking about it, and more people are talking about some of these other veteran quarterbacks. It's absolutely mind-boggling to me.
Do you think we had a bomb today? We had DeAndre Hopkins to Arizona qualifies as a shocker. Do you think we have a handful?
There's going to be another one coming up here soon.
What timeout?
Can't tell you yet. It's going to be another one.
Today?
There'll be another big one coming up here soon. It'll surprise you.
Is it a wide receiver?
I can't get into it yet because I'm sworn to secrecy at this point.
All right.
But it'll be something you'll go, oh, wow. It'll involve there'll be a couple big name players here and bigger picks that'll start getting shopped around here. You'll see that'll and it's interesting also because of what's happening right now. There are teams that are saying we don't think free agency or anything should start right now because what say if we sign a guy a lot of us can't fly him in for a physical and we can't see we may want to look at a guy but we can't fly him in. And it's hard. So then we're pending physicals, you guys. So why don't we just wait? And obviously the union, they don't want to wait because they're saying, well, guys they're making money immediately today, start of the league year. So we don't want them holding off on that guaranteed money. So it's interesting how they're trying to navigate that. Listen, we're in uncharted territory. We, on a much smaller scale, we're, have Unbreakable, our gym here. And 3 hours before midnight, we get something from Mayor Garcetti that you're closed down. You cannot open your doors tomorrow. Most of our people are already asleep. So we have to have somebody outside our door saying, hey, you can't come in. And then, employers going, what's happening with our jobs? And we're scrambling there. Our foundation, MVP, we gather in big groups, and we don't know what to do there because isolation for our group of veterans is a lot scarier than this.
Yeah,
and obviously we want to keep them safe in every way. We want to keep other people safe. So there's no, I know we all say isolation is the right answer right now. It is, but, man, not to our vets. So we're trying to figure out how to navigate them. So everybody's trying to navigate business right now and navigate life right now, and everybody seems to have such a hard-line stance, one or the other. This whole thing's supposed to be we the people. We're supposed to do it together. Somehow we all need to come together.
Yeah. Hey,
while being separate.
Dak Prescott got franchise tagged.
He'll be the quarterback for the Cowboys for a long time.
So
doesn't matter how they do it. They're going to make sure he's quarterback of that team for a long, long time.
So they can still negotiate till July, can't they?
Yeah, there's a certain period they can negotiate, but he'll be there for the next 5 years.
Okay. And then there's another big deal coming, you said.
At least one.
Okay, can I just...
At least one that I know of. There's a couple being worked on. And again, some of them are like, man, we want to do it, but we need to see this guy to make it final, but they're not allowed. There are certain facilities that are closed. There are certain, you know what I mean? So it's kind of weird. That's what I'm saying. It's a tricky time we're living in.
Wow. By the way, Arizona now that they have their star receiver, I'm just reading Daniel Jeremiah says, now they can take an offensive tackle in the first round. We're going to have a lot of tackles taken. Holy Lord. I predicted seven.
Or another receiver.
I got one. You won't tell me the player.
You won't do this to me. You'll
just
see
one.
It later.
Just one question.
You'll see it later. You'll see it later.
Does it rhyme with Samari Looper of the Dallas Cowboys? Does it rhyme with that? Is that the player?
No, he's just free, isn't he?
Well, he's a free
agent.
We're
talking trades. You asked me trades.
AFC, right? AFC, or
free,
NFC? AFC or NFC?
you come on. I always tell you. I even tell you off air all the time.
All right.
Beforehand, right?
All right.
And the only reason I'm not saying it is because it's not finalized.
All right.
And so I don't want to put it out there and all of a sudden, bam. If I could, trust me, if I could, I'd break it on your show, which I have in the past.
Yeah.
It's not the two that I'm hearing are not finalized yet. There's two of them.
Yeah. If it happens, we got your number there, buddy.
You got it, buddy.
All right. Thanks, man.